And Sue, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, yes.
All right, great. So I have Sue on the phone. Sue, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Okay, my name is Sue Morales. My other name is Matilda Hoff. I've been a member of the Northwest AIM chapter since 1972. In the early 70s, we also had an AIM house in Seattle, Washington. One of the co-founders was Leonard Peltier. In the house, we ran it. People that one needed a place to go stay or to get another start. You know that. So we had a big 18-bedroom house, and the guys went out and did car work and stuff for in exchange for a house rent, you know, or food or whatever we needed for the house. And we did all kinds of little odd jobs, and we went to go do rallies or marches or whatever was needed to be done wherever we got called to go do. We went to, in 1974, we had one of the first spiritual conferences in the area that was multi-tribal, and it was at Snoqualmie Falls. And it was really, you know, very nice, and a lot of people had just come off of different marches or different rallies, and they came from California, from Canada, you know, all over Washington, South Dakota, New York. We had a lot of the Iroquois come out. We had people even from Seminole come out, Oklahoma people. And it was a very nice, you know, seven-day ceremonies, and all getting to know each other. And then we went back on the road again and went back to South Dakota for the ghost dance at Henry and Leonard Crow Dog's place in near Rosebud, South Dakota, not too far from Mission. And Leonard went with us then. He was somebody shooting in our neighborhood right now, so it's a little noisy. that happens quite often here. I'm in Tacoma. But, yeah, we went back for during the Wounded Knee trials in South Dakota. We had a couple of caravans go from the Northwest, and there was other caravans that left from other areas to go back and support those who were on trial for the occupation at Wounded Knee that happened in 1973. I worked on that also, but I did that out of Valentine, Nebraska to do fundraising. Leonard wasn't with us at that point, but then in 74 when we went back to Crow Dogs to go, that was our base, like our base camp, and then went into the trials and did other things over there at that point also. Russell Means and Dennis Banks and a few other people in the higher-ups, whatever, decided to declare war on the U.S., and we decided to stay for that, and that was quite fun. People shooting at us all the time, as I said, it's just shooting at us here in this neighborhood. It doesn't get any different. We got drive-bys in the city, and they got drive-bys on way out in reservations. We went from South Dakota back, we had the AIM house, and supported a lot of people who were getting in and out of prisons. And
Ryan, you hear that?
Our neighbors all coming out about the shots. Yeah. We just had another big shooting here on Monday, but that has nothing to do with AIM. It's Cambodia, New Year. People get a little excitable around this area. We had probably about 28 people at the AIM house when we got back. And right from there, everybody decided that they should go up to Kootenai to support some problems that was happening with the Shuswap Indians. They called the AIM chapters to come up and help them with the timber issues and some other issues that their band was having up there in Canada with the Department of Interior. Our guys from our AIM house barely made it over I-90, and they were all arrested on Mercer Island. That's when we knew how much our house was being watched, because they waited for people to get a little bit small in the house and then just busted everybody. And for no reason, there was nothing. You know, we never did know what all the charges were. They just came around us all up and then put us all back out. Just wanted to check who was in the house, I think, and different things, trying to get us on some kind of RICO thing that didn't happen. In 75, after the ghost dance in 74, a lot of people went south to go with the medicine bundle. And some people went back to go help take care of some things that were happening in South Dakota. And that's when that problem happened in June of 1975 at the Jumping Bull family's property. And there were different AIM chapter people in different, from different areas all staying there, trying to be supportive on that reservation. There are a lot of bad things happening in out there in Sioux Country on the different reservations right near there. People were terribly harassed in the early 70s because of uranium strip mining and different things with their land rights that the tribal councilman at that time was practically signing everything away. So the elders and the medicine people had asked for AIM to come and help guard some of the people so that they could have honest tribal elections. And it got pretty hairy with people getting death threats and people's houses were shot up for no reason. And so Jumping Bull family had asked people that said, you know, you can stay on our property here. And everybody went. And some people had gone into town. And when they were coming back, they got followed by some feds who kept calling the property a compound, like it was a big giant military base. And it wasn't. There wasn't even that many of the chapter members there. There was all kinds of other things going on at that time. They rushed the camp. They started shooting, and consequently, one native was killed, Joe Spence Kilsright, and two federal agents. They started to try to do a manhunt all over the place for several of the people. Most everybody scattered. They wanted Leonard because he'd been in for a lot of years. They had also gotten Bobby Robidoux and some youngsters. They acquitted quite a number of the people, never got Frank, this guy named Frank, I'm not going to go into last names, and they got Leonard. He got loose. That made more harassing everywhere. People were trying to decide how to help him get anywhere, and they just did pell-mell on any reservation, even here in Suquamish over our cousin's property. They did aerial photos and stuff of us. We weren't even doing anything. Leonard wasn't here, but they were pretty sure he was going to have to try to come here because one of his old, you know, stomping grounds or whatever was in Washington, down in Nisqually, where we helped with fishing rights, and in here at Puyallup with some of the fishing rights, and sometimes even over in Suquamish. And there was also some people from the Northwest chapter who lived over there on that reservation. Wherever we went, they were harassing us. They came even to my dormitory at the University of Washington to come and try to check on stuff. That was an odd time, to say the least. Leonard had gotten away and gone to Canada. A year later, they had chased him down and got him, and they were trying to get him, Neelot Butler, and Dino Butler for the killing of those FBI agents when it was a firefight that had opened up. And it was, you know, when you get fired upon, you fire back. To date, they've never been able to prove that the bullet came out of any of the people's guns that were there from the at the Jumping Bull property. The bullets, from what we've heard, were even from a Fed gun. They were shooting back and forth and up and over the houses. Bullets could have fallen into anybody. They tried to say Joe Stuntz Kilsright did it because they said he had a federal agent's flak jacket on. The bullet hole in the federal agent's jacket and the bullet holes on Joe Stunt's body didn't match up. They took 8 by 11, whatever those are called, those regular piece of size paper, made photos of them to try to frighten people into testifying, and it showed them standing with one foot up on Joe Stunt's chest, you know, and holding the rifle like when they hunt a deer and they put their foot up to go, ooh, look at our trophy. That's what they did that day, and we had gotten those different photos from the Freedom of Information Act. I had been down in Oaxaca, Mexico, and they came up on me there in the local Zocalo and tried to ask me for information. They said they knew I was with AIM, and I was telling them I didn't know what they were talking about and all kinds of fun things, and felt scared to death because I was by myself. And they just opened it up and showed me that picture, and I had to feel like kind of a crud ball by saying, I don't even know who you're taking, showing me here. That's an horrid, ugly picture, and, you know, you're just awful. And some friends of mine that I'd met there in Mexico took me back up into the mountains, and I stayed away from the big cities after that until I came back into the U.S. We fought for years to try to get Leonard's freedom, and to show how much people had been harassed into testifying against him, saying he had said different things, had done different things that he had not done. One woman, Myra, had been so harassed. She said a bunch of things and then tried to come out. You know, she came out and said, no, I didn't. They threatened her life on and off again and her extended family's, you know, lives with keeping to the testimony that Leonard had as much as bragged about doing this. He had not done it. And through the years, there's been all kinds of marches. They went to the Geneva Convention and had Leonard Peltier made a political prisoner and recognized that to ask for international help on international help on getting him freedom and or another trial. They came forward too, like in I think it was 90 or 91 when we had the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis. They had people from all over America and Europe come there to St. Paul to try to help show the 8th Court Circuit of Appeal that we believed in Leonard and wanted Leonard's freedom. Leonard has been switched back and forth to all kinds of prisons. His health has been failing him of late, and part of it is his diabetes. He has diabetes, and they believe he might have that he might have prostate cancer. At first, when he was saying, you know, that he needed some tests, they were trying to tell him that they were, I think it's called elective tests, and something that he wanted, not something he needed to have done. Finally, with a lot of other push from the outside, they finally did some tests, but they're still not telling him the results. His eyesight is starting to fail him. And he may have prostate cancer. He wants to get moved back to a prison closer to the Mayo Clinic to where he was before when they used to help him out. And we don't know if that will be happening. Right now, this year, we're pushing for clemency for Leonard. And we're going to be having a rally in Tacoma on Saturday, May 21st. And it'll be in Tacoma. It'll start at the Portland Avenue Park. And it'll start at noon. And that's on 35th and East Fairbanks. And you would take the Portland Avenue exit off of I-5 and head east. At 1 o'clock, there'll be the Rally for Justice, and that will be in front of the courthouse in Tacoma. And that's 1717 Pacific Avenue, U.S. Federal Courthouse. We have a long list of speakers, and we would also be having an open mic. I have the information here for the carpools that will be coming from Seattle and also from Olympia, where the carpools will be meeting. I'm going to be emceeing. It has Steve Happy from the Tacoma chapter of the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee, Albert Combs with a drum and security, keynote speaker Ramona Bennett, Puyallup tribal member and a longtime Native activist, Dorothy Ackerman, a Lakota elder, John C. Peltier, son of Leonard Peltier, Beahop Conway, Tacoma chapter, Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee, and daughter of Chucky Doghide, longtime friend of Leonard. Peter Bomer from Olympia, longtime activist, member of Olympia Movement for Justice and Peace, and faculty there at Evergreen State College. Juan Jose Bocanegra, coordinator and organizer for the Committee of Immigration Reform and Social Justice. David Duenas, a Puyallup, son of Rocky Duenas, also one of Leonard's longtime buddies. Mike Ode, for the Leonard Tell Committee, and there'll be several others. One of the statements that Leonard has on here is, on our poster, says, I have no doubt whatever that the real motivation behind both Wounded Knee 2 and the Oglala firefight and much of the turmoil throughout Indian country since the early 1970s was and is the mining company's desire to muffle AIM and all traditional Indian people who fought and still seek to protect the land, water, and air from their theft and deprivation. In this sad and tragic age we live in, to come to the defense of Mother Earth is to be branded as a criminal. And that's Leonard Peltier's statement. We're going to be at that rally. We're going to be also having petitions signed and helping other people understand what they can do to help Obama understand why we want to get clemency for Leonard, to get Leonard out, to be back with his family, to get his health care needs taken care of, and just to move on. The carpools will be meeting in Olympia, and they will be leaving from the parking lot at Harrison and Division at 10:15. And then they're going to be, that's the carpool in Olympia, from the parking lot at Harrison and Division at 10:15. And in Seattle at the Red Apple parking lot on 23rd and Jackson, and they'll be leaving at 10:30. And this march is to kick off the new Northwest Campaign for Clemency for Leonard Peltier. It will take time to build up this campaign, and we ask for your help. Leonard has been in prison since 1976 for a crime he did not commit. And it says his health has gotten bad, and he needs all of us now. We need people to pass this information to their friends, groups, organizations, publications, websites, and Facebook. We need people to post and pass out flyers. We need donations. We need this to make this march as large as possible to show others that there is still support for Leonard Peltier. Please help us. Please contact us if you can help. For donations, please make checks out to the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee and then mark them for the Northwest March. And to send them to Tacoma, LPODC, P.O. Box 5464, Tacoma, Washington, 98415-0464. And that's Tacoma Chapter of the Leonard Peltier Offense Defense Committee. You can go look at www.whoisleonardpeltier.info, and that is whoisleonardpeltier.info. I wish my son and those people weren't going to go down to see where the shooting was. I don't like that in our neighborhood here. We had a big one on Monday, and our street was closed off for about 10 hours. Anyway, do you have any questions for me? I'm going to keep rambling, and I hope I'm still even on the air.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much so far. I was curious if you could talk more about who is Leonard Peltier and what kind of a person he is.
Leonard Peltier is a big old fuzzy wuzzy Chippewa. I shouldn't say that. That's not nice. Leonard is a nice, gentle big man from Turtle Mountain Reservation in Rolland, North Dakota. That's where a lot of his extended family lived, and that's where he grew up, in North Dakota. And in the late 50s, early 60s, there was a move on a lot of different reservations to relocate natives to get them jobs, send them to the big cities. Well, it was another way to mess up Indians in the long range. It was like a complete genocidal type of thing. It got us away from, you know, our traditional elders and a lot of other things, and it was also leaving the reservation up for grabs and kept that area of not being able to have jobs. His family moved to the Portland area, and a lot of their relatives had also moved, the Robidoux, and several other different families who he's related to, moved to the Portland and then the Seattle areas to work in the different factories and companies that were out here that could give them jobs that they could send money back home to those reservations. And he grew up here. He was a car mechanic and a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy. Very friendly, very, very friendly sometimes. And really felt a lot for his reservation and a lot of the other reservations. The more he saw and the more he traveled, like a lot of us, to see the sickness that had been happening on different reservations because of what was happening with the earth, like what was happening with the uranium strip mining, the poisoning of the water, and the fact that, like even in Wounded Knee, there's hardly any more trees. They can't grow a whole lot of things because the ground has gotten so poisoned, and their, what they call them, a water table under the ground, is really bad. He helped put up with some of his other buddies here in the Northwest Chapter, like I said, the AIM House, also a car repair place, so the guys could have work to get some money to help their families and themselves, not only just for the AIM House, and helping other guys that were getting out of prison to get them houses to get out to so that they could be paroled out to the streets and have a place to live and get their feet under them before going on to, you know, live with family or whomever. And Leonard is in his 60s, I think, now. I'm 56 as of today. And I know he's probably about 10 years older than me, somewhere around there. I started when I was 17 running around with those guys, and so that's been a lot of years ago. Very protective of his people and of his land, and of all of us in the chapters. When we'd be traveling, nobody messed with anybody in the chapters, because a few of the men would stand there and go, no, you know, you don't get to pick on these people or try to, you know, manipulate anybody. We had to watch out in some of the early days of going to some rallies and such, not in different areas, that people would try to take advantage of some of the people who wanted to help. And he made sure that we understood how to look into what we were going to do support with, instead of just headlong running into something and then find out that we've just messed things up for ourselves and other things. And for other people to find out that it wasn't just some family feud, that it was a real situation that was happening. So he was very investigative and very helpful in those things, helped elders, kids, ex-cons, street people, to help get them into housing. That's how we had those different houses. The main house was there on 23rd and Yesler. The main aim house was there, and it's a big old giant mansion-looking thing. And there were other several other houses that we had put up with different people from the chapter that would run them, almost like a work release program. Because there weren't anything set up at that time in the city or in Seattle for natives or even of people of color. You know, they had to try to get out of prison and just go straight into their families or straight to the streets and usually not be able to make it. But if they had support and support from the community and family, they could make it. And so he did some work with the Seattle Indian Center. He didn't just fight for what was happening with his Sioux tribe and his North Dakota Turtle Mountain Chippewa tribe. He worked everywhere and anywhere people asked him to go. He's just a big mustachioed gentle guy. And to think that they've done this to him for so long, at one of the prisons in the early days, they set him up with his cell, because he was always in those in the hole, those where you go down for 23 hours in your cell and 1 hour out for exercise or phone calls or time to meet with your lawyers or whatever. And they had his cell right next to a pipe that dinged, like every minute and a half, ping, 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 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it was more than grating on his nerves. He started almost getting a hearing problem from it by trying to either get that noise out of his head so that he wasn't even hearing half the time. And, you know, being in solitary and having nothing else around you, no reading materials, and to just be listening to ping, you know, 24/7 is a bit much. We did try real hard to get that help, and it did finally get him transferred to a different area so they didn't have to hear that ping. It did make the prison stop getting ping, but his son will be here and speaking a lot more on some of what he was as a family man, but I'd seen him in his different families, how well he worked with his extended families and his different children, and he's always been a really good man, and that's one of the reasons why I've stood by all these years to try to do something. You know, I know that I took off instead of staying and trying to go to jail and help make a statement. I left and went to Mexico. You know, other people split and went to different places, and sometimes I regret that, but I don't either, so that there is still some people out here that can try to find help for people that have things happen to them, like Leonard and other Native political prisoners or other prisoners of color or prisoners at all. Have I been any help so far?
Yeah, can you talk about Leonard's efforts organizing while in prison?
Organizing what in prison?
Like the programs and stuff. I heard like there's like a toys program to children. And Pine Ridge, and there's like an art program he started. There's probably other things as well.
Yeah, he had, with all of his paintings, he's had them be sold to get different help for different programs. They did get one that was like a giving tree to get toys, bikes fixed by the different prisons to get them to have bicycles. They got brought into the prisons. He helped also for the guys in the prison to make sure that they were able to have some downtime with their culture, to have, you know, to go to sweat lodge ceremony or whatever ceremony for that their tribe would have, because not everybody has the same type of ceremonies, you know. And he helped to keep that right as part of your spiritual heritage, to keep hair long if they so wanted it, because the only time we would cut our hair off is during the time of mourning. Instead of just having their hair cut, the prisons used to try to say, well, we have to look like, we have to find out what they'd look like without hair in case they decide to escape and just shave their heads. Well, they wouldn't, because they'd already said they were doing it for their spiritual help, and they'd always had long hair. And in this age of sketch artists, they could easily find out what he'd look like without hair, or any other native prisoner. People, he went to help organize those natives in there and to get those different activities, such as the art program, the toys for children, the fixing of some of the different bicycles and other toys to get out to those kids, and of making blankets, you know, quilts and stuff that the hobby shops could do to help get stuff out, and to also get people on the outside to look for some resources for these different people on different reservations. He's worked really long and hard on all of that, and his artwork, he's had several showings in the United States and in Europe. I think you can find that on some of his websites. They're very nice, and it's hard to see that with your sight going of what's going to happen with him with being able to paint, or how that's going to be going. Do you have any other questions?
Yeah, can you talk about the current clemency campaign that's being organized?
They've got some lawyers out of the main office, which is in North Dakota on his reservation there. Turtle Mountain is where he's had some of his extended family there, getting together to get petitions wrote and signed by people all over the U.S. to ask President Obama to sign to get Leonard clemency, to just let him out. There's been times in the past where they wanted to just have a regular retrial and have him found completely innocent, but at this point, let's just get him out of prison, and we can maybe do that sometime later. There's going to be each one of the larger chapters is being given 7 states to work with. The Tacoma chapter is just one of 7 states that's working together to get the petition drives, the educational drives, and the rallies to get going so that people will better understand what clemency is, and to help push for Obama and his people to sign it. And they're thinking that Obama might be the person that will sign this time, of how he feels about natives and different other issues that he's touched on, that he might just be the president this time to be able to sign for Leonard to get out of prison, I'm hoping.
And then can you tell us the information about the march and rally coming up again?
Okay. The march is going to be on Saturday, May 21st, 2011. We're going to meet in Tacoma, and that'll be at 12 noon, and that's where the march starts. And it's from Portland Avenue Park on Portland Avenue between East 31st and Fairbanks. You take the Portland Avenue exit off of I-5 and head east. So if you're coming northbound, when you get off the freeway for Portland Avenue, you take a right and go up probably about a quarter of a mile, not even half a mile, and it's right there. You'll see it on your left. And they go from that place to the downtown Tacoma Federal Courthouse. And the march takes about an hour. And the rally will be in front of the U.S. Federal Courthouse at 1717 Pacific Avenue. After the rally, there'll be an open mic, also dinner, potluck dinner to be held. And we're not sure if it's going to be happening yet at the youth center or at the tribal center right by, not too far from the park. That will get battened down pretty soon. We're just hassling over who's got what time for the program space needed, because I guess there's a big drive here also for clothes and things for those people over in Yakima on that reservation there in Toppenish, where those like 19 or 22 houses all burned down due to the cold weather and a windstorm. One chimney fire happened and wiped out quite a few houses there on the res and took everything. I know people luckily were harmed, and so the tribe here had done a big drive, and they have a lot of clothes and household items and stuff in the one center where we might be having the dinner. So if it gets moved over to that reservation. We'll be having the dinner there. If it doesn't get moved, we'll be going to the youth center. And that dinner usually lasts pretty late for people that are coming up from, like, Portland or from Canada or from farther away. If they're needing places to stay, different people will hook them up to try to find places to stay over in Tacoma, so they can be able to stay for the whole, you know, rally and the dinner afterwards and stuff. And a nice, it makes for a nice atmosphere after the march to have, like, the open mic time and then time for people to just visit and catch up on what's going on in their different areas, you know, to network with these other groups, but also to just have some nice downtime with people of like-mindedness. And the carpool in Olympia, the carpool will be leaving from the parking lot at Harrison and Division at 10:15 a.m. It'd be nice to get there maybe a little bit earlier and be looking for the carpool. In Seattle, they'll be meeting at the Red Apple parking lot on 23rd and Jackson, and they'll be leaving at 10:30 a.m. to get down here to Tacoma. You can talk to Arthur, I mean, send him an email if you need to, and ask any other further questions, and that's Arthur Miller, and his email address is Bayou, B-A-Y-O-U, at blarg.net, and that's blarg.net, and that's for Arthur Miller. Or you can call me, Sue Morales, and my phone number is 253-686-2662 for any other further questions. Again, that's 253-686-2662, and it's Sue Morales or Matilaha. If you don't know me by my Anglo name, then you know me by my Indian name. There will be security so that people can't try to drive into the marchers or whatever. We have security offered by the groups here, by the natives who are as part of this chapter, but I believe also the tribal police will have, like, a car in front and a car behind so that, you know, people can walk with hopefully some feel of safety, because these are kind of busy streets to go marching down. And they march and sing and drum from the Portland Avenue Park all the way down to the Federal Building, which to me, I think it's about a 2.5-3 mile walk. I'm not sure. I've never done it. I've driven it, but I don't walk it. I can't walk very well anymore. I'm on Social Security disability. They have the rally, and then the march, and then a dinner thereafter. And if need be, if people needed a place to stay, I'm sure that there's going to be people who are going to be opening up their homes for a couple of people in different homes so that they can stay for the whole event and then be able to drive home the next morning. Have I missed a bunch of stuff, or am I still got a bunch of time left?
You can keep going. I was just wondering if you had any, like, closing comments, something you would want to tell people.
Well, I would like to see a lot of people to come forward for Leonard. He's like that uncle you have that everybody loves, but you're wondering where he is. He's wants to help everybody, wants to see the best happen for everybody's family, even though he's going through hell, you know. He still wants to be able to make sure that everybody else is fine, that things are going well for them. They won't let anyone write him anymore, and I'm not quite sure. Just his events committee and I think his immediate family can write. If you're not on his visiting list there at the U.S. Federal Prison there at Lewisburg, you can't write him anymore. We used to be able to write him letters, and I was a preschool teacher at Jose Martí Child Development Center up at El Centro de la Raza in Seattle. And when they had Heroes Week, one of the heroes they picked was Leonard Peltier. And all the kids got to hear about the different stuff Leonard did, because some of them had been recipients of some of the toys and different things that came from those drives. And so they knew of Uncle Leonard, and they painted and drew cute pictures for him. And they wanted to send him in. I kept trying to tell the other teachers, I don't think this will go. They sent him in, and they said it was leftist propaganda, you know, done by 5- and 6-year-olds and 4-year-olds, not. But they thought it was very wrong and very bad of us to get the children to do such a thing, and they wouldn't let Leonard see any of him. But at least back then we could write him letters and tell him what we had tried to get into him. But the prison did send it all back and made Leonard pay for it out of what money he's got on his books. I'd like people to come and find out more for themselves, too, about who Leonard is, because I can ramble and ramble, but I know I'm missing lots of points, because it feels like when you're doing a radio interview, you don't see the person you're talking to. I'm just looking around my neighborhood at the cats jumping around and about the shooting that just happened about a block away from my house. And I'm thinking of a lot of other things instead of talking on the radio, which I hope they can come to the rally and get to know some of us, get to hear what's being said about Leonard, and to learn more about him and the other different movement stuff that's going on around the United States and outside of the U.S. And have a nice time of it. Have a nice march. Have some good drumming and singing. Hear some different people and get to know some people at the dinner time. And maybe help us in pushing on that campaign for clemency for Leonard to help get him out soon.
Well, thank you for being on the radio, Sue.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling me. Thanks for including us in this. I'm hoping people in Olympia will be coming up and give me a call if you need to, or give Arthur an email. And I guess we do have a Facebook page, but I don't know what it is. It's probably under the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee, and it would be the Tacoma chapter. One of the guys in our group is writing it, and it'll have new things posted up on there. But I don't have a computer, and I don't have online, so I've never had a Facebook, so I'm not the one to be asking about that stuff. I'd like to get a computer again, but I don't have it right now. So I do have a phone. People can call me on that or write an email to Leonard and to Arthur Miller, who has been, he's been over 30 years he's been working to get Leonard free also. I took a break for a few years because of my health, and I'm coming back now so I can get around a little bit better. Is there anything else?
I think that's good, but thank you very much.
Okay, if I think of anything else, maybe we can do this again when it gets closer to the march.
Yeah, for sure.
And I hope you have a really good evening and that people down there in Olympia are doing well. And we'll just hopefully see you on May 21st.
All right. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you. Good night.